Joining us on KMBR 680, he is a sports writer. He's the beat writer for the Chicago Tribune. He covers the Cubs, and he's a Bay Area guy, and that's Mark Gonzalez. Gonzo, nice to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me on. It's great to be back in the Bay Area.
Boy, great time of year for baseball. And, of course, we saw so many trades on Monday, the 1st. It seemed like every time you turned on the TV, something was happening. And let's go through a couple of them, some of the ones that you thought were significant, especially if you look at the contenders in the National League. Just about everybody did something important.
Yeah, each division. I mean, the Nationals getting Melanson. The Cubs going out and getting Will Smith, you know, just after getting Chapman and Montgomery. And then the West, I mean, what the Dodgers did with Reddick and Hill, and then the Giants with Will Smith and Matty Moore. So nobody stood still. I think it speaks to the sense of urgency among all the contenders to get something done and fortify their chances of getting that playoff berth, because you never know what's going to happen in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Mets with Jay Bruce, of course, a big hitter, and now Cespedes is on the DL. I think you said Will Smith, but you meant Joe Smith of the Cubs. Let's start with the Cubs, because it seems to me they're trying to put together the perfect roster.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way of phrasing it, especially, you know, with the playoffs. It's all about relief pitching, shortening games, and they address that in three areas and different chunks. You know, first with Montgomery, he hasn't pitched much, but then you had the big ticket guy in Chapman. They tried hard to get Andrew Miller, but in the eyes of the Indians, they just didn't have the right parts or the high ceiling pieces, enough of them. So they settled for Chapman. They're very happy with him. And now with Joe Smith, you know, Joe Madden always says he likes funk, and with Joe Smith, you have a sidearm guy mixed in with a bunch of hard throwers. It's a nice fit there.
Looking at Chapman, how exciting is that to see him come in now? He's saved a couple of games and let one get away already, but what is that dimension? What does it give the Cubs?
It really gives them two important pieces. One, a guy that throws a million miles an hour, no doubt about that. But one of the things that's been under the radar has been their lack of success against left-handed hitters. Travis Wood's been the only guy that succeeded. They designated Clayton Richard for assignment. He didn't get the job done. They had Joel Peralta in June, who had a great history of getting lefties out. He didn't get the job done. So with Chapman, they got somebody who's just overwhelming against lefties.
Gonzo with us. Mark Gonzalez covers the Cubs for the Chicago Tribune. Giants-Cubs at the end of this month. Giants go into Wrigley. Last time that happened last year wasn't so friendly to the San Francisco Giants. What is the atmosphere of Wrigley Field like these days?
It's been buzzing. It's amazing. You look at the crowds, and it's a shock if they don't draw 40,000. They had a weekday series against the Reds, three consecutive day games right after 4th of July, and they averaged about 41,000. So there's certainly a vibe there, and the Giants are in the back of the fans' minds because they remember last year, about almost exactly a year ago, the Cubs swept the Giants to start their amazing run to the playoffs.
Will Smith, left-hander from the Brewers. Andrew Susak goes to the Brewers. Phil Bickford goes, number one pick of the Giants, goes to the Brewers for this big lefty. And you've seen a lot of him.
I liked him. He was very impressive for the Brewers. And then the last couple of weeks, he was a little toasty. We saw a game, I believe it was on July 24th, where the Cubs came back from a 5-1 deficit to score six against the Brewers. And the big hit was a bases-clearing double by Anthony Rizzo, lefty on lefty. And Smith just didn't have it that night. And you know, it's only was a small sample size, but it just speaks to how teams really need effective lefties, because you look at the situation. If you're going to go to the playoffs, you need a lefty to get out guys like Bryce Harper, the Murphys, the Adrian Gonzalez's, the Utleys, the Brandon Crawfords, Span, Panic. The list is endless, and you just need that guy who can get a big lefty out in a big situation.
Well, he's a big lefty, all right. We'll see how he does. The Giants needed him. Mark, let me ask you about the Cubs, and of course, you know, MVP this discussions are going to start. Cy Youngs are going to be in the prominence pretty soon. MVP of this team, I don't know if you vote for it or not, but what do you think?
I do vote for it. I have a vote this year, so it's not the most envious position, but I had it last year with the Cy Young and Arrieta. And I will say that Bryant and Rizzo are two viable candidates. These guys are really feed off each other. You know, one might be slumping, but the other's hitting, and then vice versa. They add a unique dimension. You know, Bryant with his versatility is just amazing. Ever since Schwarber went down the first week of the season, Bryant's played just about everywhere. He even played an inning at shortstop during a game this year. Anthony Rizzo has been the stabilizer of this lineup. You know, left-handed guy. He wasn't hitting lefties that well until June 1st. Made some adjustments at the plate. Swings a little looser, and it's paid off quite a bit. You know, not just with a big hit off Smith, but with some other lefties as well.
Anything short of a World Series title acceptable to this team? And, of course, they've got the bullseye. They've had it for 108 years now.
They welcome the bullseye. It starts with Joe. We saw that at the winter meetings, but this team hasn't let off the pedal. I mean, they're going for it, and they know they don't aspire to be average. This is it for them. You see guys like David Ross entering his last year, and the team has really rallied around him. They want to give him a big send-off, but they know there's a lot of history at stake, and they know what it means to the city and their legacy if they can take it to the distance.
All right, two-thirds of the season is done. We know what's good about the Cubs, and you outlined the big players and, of course, the pitching. What could go wrong? What could derail this train that's going down the tracks?
Well, we saw some of their vulnerabilities early July. They had a long, long, long road trip, and the starting pitching was a little toasty. You kind of look at the ages of some of these guys. You know, John Lackey's 37. He's got his second win. He's throwing well, but he's shown he's vulnerable. And John Lester sometimes has control problems. Jake Arrieta is still pitching well, but he's not invincible, and he's given up a share of home runs lately. We saw it a couple weeks ago against the White Sox. And Todd Frazier hitting a three-run homer that made a big difference. So it's going to depend on their starting pitching. I know it's a cliche, but with this team more than ever, right now they're clicking. They have the lowest ERA in the National League, but when they slipped up, it was because their starting pitching wasn't pitching deep.
All right, games there. 1-1 in the playoffs in the five-game series. It's game three. Who throws it?
Boy, right now, if that game's at home, it's Kyle Hendricks. This guy has been so under the radar. I believe he has the lowest ERA, home ERA, in the National League, if not all of baseball. People compare him to Greg Maddux. I think that's a little lofty comparison. But the guy jams bats, throwing only 89 miles an hour. He's got a terrific curveball, excellent changeup. He's the guy I want on the mound if they're playing at Wrigley Field. But elsewhere, I think it's got to be Lackey.
But there's so much more baseball to play. It's incredible how much more baseball is to play. Anything could happen. You covered the White Sox in your career, and, of course, you've been a Bay Area sports writer as well for the San Jose Mercury News. Chris Sale, was that story crazy enough even for Chicago?
Yeah, you know, the White Sox, even for them, you know, I think Bruce Jenkins once described them in 2005 as the wackiest ship in the Navy, and that still exists. Believe me, covering them for 8.5 years, there was never a dull moment. Chris, I've known him since he came up, great kid, but he has an edge about him, and I kind of like that edge, but sometimes it gets the best of him. I was a little surprised they didn't entertain more trade discussions for him. I think they're kind of afraid to trade him at this point, so they can back off a bit and sift through whatever offers they hear in the winter, but I think that would have been a good time to move them if they felt the need to do so.
You just saw a lot of Cubs White Sox. The closer for the White Sox, that name's been out there, Robertson, but they didn't move him.
No, they didn't. And it's kind of interesting, too, because he's a guy that's well experienced pitching in the American League East with the Yankees. But he had a couple tough outings, specifically one in Seattle where Adam Lind took him deep. And Robertson just didn't have it. But he's usually a guy that finds a way to get things done. I think the contract might have came into play, having two more years left, I believe, at $12 million a year. So that kind of might have been a deal breaker.
All right, Mark Gonzalez with us. If you're a Cub fan, what team do you fear the most?
I think you got to fear the Cubs. I mean, just I think right now, with the way the parts are, certainly you respect the Nationals and the tandem of a Strasburg and Scherzer. I mean, they're formidable. And then the Giants, you got to think at some point they're going to get their second win. The Dodgers, they're an interesting study right now because you fear who's coming off the deal and who could help them. Certainly Kershaw's X factor, whether he comes back. But I still think that the Cubs got to fear the Cubs right now. now that they can stub their toe, because I think right now, the way the team's equipped, they should go to the World Series as long as they avoid injury.
Wow, boy, it sounds like May all over again. When we had Phil Rogers on, he said, get ready for 120 wins. And I said, all right, Phil, let's talk in a couple of months. All right, the Cub confidence is riding high. Very good. That's what we love about baseball. You mentioned another fellow who pitches for the Marlins, a Bay Area man who's having a great season. I'm intrigued by it, and I love the way he pitches. Giants will see him starting this coming week.
Kyle Barraclough, pride of Wilcox High School. Terrific story. You know, he was traded from the Cardinals for Sechak, one of those, you get a proven closer for a guy with some upside, and Kyle was blocked in the Cardinals system, and he's just taken off. You look at his strikeouts to innings ratio, it's almost 2-1. I mean, this guy's just got a power arm, graduated from St. Mary's, got his degree. How about that? Okay. College kid finishes it off, so he's got a life after baseball. But right now, baseball, he's got a chance to be deluxe. I mean, this guy throws 96 miles an hour, a slider that'll bury even right-handers. We saw it Wednesday. We buried Baez and Coughlin in the seventh inning that kept the lead that they eventually lost, but no fault of Kyle's.
He's got a great name.
Barraclough.
I like it. It's a good name for a relief pitcher. All right. Nice to have you on the show, Mark, as always. A pleasure to see you back here in the Bay Area. So much more baseball ahead, and I think the Cubs, Giants, Nationals certainly are going to be in this thing, and we'll see how it all plays out. But nothing better than going down the stretch. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. More coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.